This message was actually inspired by Shirley Sanders. I think it was a week ago tonight, or maybe it was Monday night. I don't remember which. One of the young ladies in our church, Sarah, was really, really sick. Had mono, they thought, and some other complications. Was just feeling awful. And Shirley found out about it, and of course, she could have just said a quick prayer. She could have called over there and said something to her, or, you know, whatever. But you know what she did? She contacted a bunch of us and said, I think it'd be a good idea if we all went over there and prayed for her. So a group of us went over to the house. Sure enough, there she was. And we gathered around and, excuse me, and we prayed for Sarah and her two little ones to keep them safe so that they wouldn't catch it. And I remember when we were done, I looked at Tim and I said, this is why I love my church. So the title of this message is Angels Among Us and Why I Love My Church. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, and to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for you, for your feet? Are they not, meaning angels, all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So in that verse, we find out that angels are ministers, sent out to minister to the people around them, to those that God has said, you have my salvation through your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Angels are ministers to those people. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Literally billions of angels, all praising Jesus. So in Revelation, we find out that angels are worshipers and praisers. So we know they're ministers. We know that they are worshipers and praisers. The one that I really got a kick out of was in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 2. It tells us that some angels in the seraphim have six wings. Six. I thought that that was pretty amazing. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31, it says, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So in that verse, in Matthew, we find out that angels are going to gather the flock, bring them in, bring them together into God's presence, into the presence of Jesus, their Lord and Savior, into the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're ministers, they're worshipers, and they're praisers. And they are those who gather the flock to bring them together, the sheepdogs, if you will, for the great shepherd. Okay? We find that out. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 10, it says, for it is written, he will bring his angels concerning you to guard you. So we find out in Luke that angels are protectors. So I got to think, and I thought, I sat there that night after we got home, and I thought, Shirley was an absolute angel today. you know, we don't have wings. But she convinced me, among other things that I've witnessed in our church, that we have angels among us. We absolutely have angels among us. And we need to recognize that, and we need to thank them for that, and we need to promote that, and we need to believe in that, and we need to take action on that. I think of Marlene and everything that she does for the church, and of Joni sitting right next to her, did it for how many years, Joni? How many years were you in charge of this place? 35 years she was in charge of this place. What did Tim always, the joke Tim always said was, you want to know, talk to the man in charge, the one that really knows what's going on. The love and the care and everything that those two women have put together for the last, how long have you been doing this now, Marlene?
Almost
2 years. And then Corey in between the two of you, right? Yeah. Making sure that we're all informed. Putting little things in the lifeline, inspirational things in there. Doing things for Tim, helping him lead his flock. Doing what they have to do to gather us together, to bring us in. Amazing things. I think of Beth. They gave Beth up for dead. They thought she was going to die. And what did that angel do? She just talked about Jesus the whole time to everybody who would listen. Everybody who would listen. So she was a minister. She ministered to those people. She really did. They hated to see her go. How many times you see, you know, nurses and hospital people don't want their patients to leave? That was Beth. Don't leave, please. I'm surprised they don't drive to your house just to see you and say hi. And I think of Lisa Hacker and how many times that she has helped provide provision for families in this household by giving people jobs. Just a little thing like that. If you don't think about it, a job's a job. Well, to some people, that's sustenance. That's provision. That's life. That's pride. That's something to be proud of, something to look forward to, something that you can grip onto and be proud of yourself for doing and getting a sense of accomplishment and all those things that come with that. And she provides that for people. Not to mention the times that people have been in financial need and, you know, somewhere some magical $300 shows up and we all know where it's coming from. One of the most meaningful experiences of my life. I never had to pay a dime for. Tim took me to a healing conference in Valparaiso University. That was the day I saw the Spirit of God so thick you could see it. It was a haze in the room. It was a literal fog in the room. People were literally laying on the floor and couldn't move. And I got to witness that. And that's the day when I heard the most amazing words to me at that point in time. Step out in faith and wait for God to show up, because he always does. And I would never have experienced that without his generosity. Those are the kinds of things that I love about our church. How about Mike and Wanda? Talk about gatherers. For years and years and years, they gathered up a van load of kids to bring to church. Right? A van load. And they would drive miles to pick up kids in a van to bring them to church or to youth group. Miles. And how about Wanda? Mike suffers a stroke, and she's right beside him, helping him, working with him. I'm just giving you a fair warning, folks. Mike said that he's going to have a surgical procedure, and the doctor said the only side effect is he might become ornerier. Jesus, help us all. Jesus, help us all. I look at my wife and the pure, beautiful spirit that she has within her. I see Jake is involved in a bunch of stuff. I mean, a bunch of stuff. And she's right there with him every step of the way. If he has some issue with our laptop, she fixes it. Something with College Credit Plus at Northwest State, she took care of it. Now we're talking about National Merit Scholarship testing. She's on it with him, doing those kinds of things. Every little thing, little tiny little things, and I'm sure, gentlemen, all of you, you know, who have a wife that you cherish, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Tiny little things that they do every day that just seem to go unnoticed. Well, I notice. I think of all of you in the medical profession and how you provide for sick people, people who need help, people who hurt, people whose bodies don't function the way they're supposed to function. And you, protectors, you go out of your way to take care of them, to give them the care that they need so that their bodies will function, or so that their pain will subside, or that they will at least be able to live a semi-normal life. And you put it on the line every day, all day long. You're angels, all of you. Look at people like Lisa Davis. She'll grab somebody and say, hey, let me pray for you. Whether they ask for it or not, let me pray. You look like you need prayer. Grab somebody and pray for them. She's an angel. There's just so many examples. Every person in this room, I could look at all of you, every one of you, and talk about you and how you are an angel on this planet. One of the prayers I pray every day in the morning when I wake up is, God, let me be an angel to somebody today. Because we all need angels, don't we? We do. Sometimes when we're struggling emotionally or whatever it is that's going on in our lives and we're having trouble, we all need an angel. Take my place, my shop. People come in. We had a lady the other day. She said, my battery's not working. Well, I tested her battery. I said, yeah, you're right. Your battery's dead. It's really nasty. So I go and I get her a new battery. I put the new battery in, and you know, she turns it on. It starts up. And she says, but all my battery electrical lights are still, you know, still going on. And I said, okay, shut it off. And I walked over to the alternator and thinking, well, this is the next thing. And I looked down. There's no belt on the alternator. Serpentine belt's completely gone. And I mean, it is a difficult job in this particular vehicle to change that belt. So I go in and I talk to my gray shirt manager, Brian. I said, Brian, come on out here. And he looks at it. And I said, Tay, look at that alternator. And he looked at it and he said, I'm not seeing things, right? There's no belt there. And he said, no, there's no belt there. And I thought, well, should we tell her, you know, should we tell her that she needs to call AAA and whatever? And he goes, nah, I can fix that. And I said, you think you can do that? And he said, I can fix that. Half hour later, new belt was sold on the vehicle. She's backing out of the driveway and leaving. Brian was an angel that day. That lady needed to get her daughter to college and was running behind. He was an angel for her that day. Those kinds of things that we do every day. How many times has Tom reached out to somebody that lives four continents away and prayed with them? You're an angel. You just are. How about when Tom was sick? And Karen was saying, get your butt out of bed. She's an angel. No. She was an encourager. T- Tom walked in here one day, and Tim goes, "Hey, Tom, how you feeling?" She goes, "Oh, don't baby him." No, seriously. But she was an encourager. And, you know, now he looks as good as new. With the heart of gold and one of the most amazingly talented men I've ever met in my life. But just, and I think of people like Kurt, who when he was young gathered up a bunch of friends in a bus and drove around singing praise and worship songs to anybody who would listen. And you know what is what now, 50 years later, Kurt, you're moving people like crazy when you get up here and speak. It's amazing. You talk about a man with the heart of God. Just amazing. You're an angel. Every one of you. Something he's done around the church, all of a sudden, magically it's done. Bill Ames. Wow. He's an angel. You know, everything, if you think about it, how many angels? And how many lives have you touched now since you said, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in. How many lives have changed because of you? You're an angel. Just so much, so many things. And those are the kinds of things, as I transition into the angels and why I love my church. I love my church because of that stuff. I love my church because we love each other. I love my church because when somebody needs prayer, we gather up a bunch of us and we go pray. Would you call us, Tim? Oh, the Chrome Dome Healing Squad. Yeah. No, I'm not suggesting that. That got Beth. She's really giggling now. I'm not suggesting, guys, that if you want to join us in praying healing prayer over someone, that you got to shave your head. But, yeah, the Chrome Dome Healing Squad, he called us the other night. I got a good laugh out of that. I think that's fantastic. But the way we support one another, the way we pray for one another, the way we pray with one another, the way that we have seen and we are bold and we step out and we do the wonderful things that Jesus called us to do. That's why I love our church. That's why I love it. I'm going to read something that changed my life. When I first started coming here, and I know you guys love stories. When I first started coming here, I've told you the story before. I came with Melissa. We were dating, and I stood in the back, and praise and worship started, and I was like this, had my hands firmly on that pew like this. And because I grew up Catholic, you know, and God bless the Catholic Church. I learned so much, and I love its reverence and its steep traditions and things like that. I do. But, you know, we did calisthenics. We knelt, we stood, we sat. We knelt, we stood, we sat. You know, we did, and we did a lot of memorized things. And those of you who have ever, you know, been in a Catholic church or were Catholic at one time, you know what I'm talking about. And all of a sudden, I see people, you know, start raising their hands like this, and I'd never done that, ever before. And I remember them singing a song, and I don't remember the proper title of the song, I'm sorry, but it's one that says, "I'm desperate for you, I'm lost without you," that one, yeah. And this was, I'd been coming here a couple months by that time, and they were singing that song, and I felt this voice say to me, "Go down front, go down front." I'd never done anything like that. Altar call, be moved by the Spirit to go move my body from one place to another, never done that before. But I listened, and I came down front. And it wasn't 5 seconds. I was on my knees. And it wasn't 5 seconds later, my head was on the ground. and I was in full on worship. I then realized, you know what? This is not about religion, it's about relationship. And I am about to enter into the most beautiful relationship I have ever, ever known. And since that time, you've seen me, those of you who have been here since I started coming, I've done some weird things up here. But every one of them was beyond my control. I didn't go, I think I'm going to raise my hand here now. No. The Spirit gets inside of you, and you just let it fly. And that's what I love about our church. I can stand in here, and I can let it fly, and it is perfectly acceptable. In fact, it is encouraged. And then I began this growth journey in that relationship. And Tim was so instrumental in that. And my wife was so instrumental in that. And they both just kept... I remember I came up to Tim one time when the Bethel people were here, before I really started getting into things. And I said, Tim, I've had this calling since I was very, very young that I want to pray for people and see them healed. And Tim says, well, then why don't you? Why don't you? And it's like... the story that we heard from one of the Bethel people here, they went to somewhere in South Africa, and they were raising people from the dead like they were eating bags of chips. And these missionaries were like blown away, and they asked, the leaders of this tribe, how are you doing this? And they said, what do you mean, how are we doing it? Jesus told us to. Exactly. Blind, surrendered faith. That's it. So yeah, Tim goes, so why don't you? That was in November, late November, around Thanksgiving. Christmas time came. I was still at that time singing Christmas Eve over at St. Casper's in Wauseon. We had a number where a flute player had to play. And you know, when you play a flute, your neck has to be a certain whatever. And her neck was hurting. Painful, hurt, whatever. She could not put her neck in the right position to play this flute for this song. And, I mean, it was 11 o'clock, and the service started at 11:30 p.m. It was midnight mass. And so I thought, okay, here we go. And I prayed for her neck, and within minutes... the pain was gone, the stiffness was gone, she was perfectly limber, and she played like an angel. Yeah, that night. So then I began to think, hey, I got this. If I can pray for people and they get to feel better, bonus. That's amazing. And I am just a tiny example of all of the people in this parish, church, who have prayed for people and watched them get healed. All of that. Just watched them get healed. And if they weren't healed immediately, within a couple of days, we would get, hey, thank you for praying for me. Just want you to know, I'm fine now. I got healed. I'm great. And that's a reason I love this church. Because people are bold. They step out and they do things. So things began to progress and began to progress. And then one day, Tim stood up here and he read this. And it changed my life forever. And I'm going to read it because I think it's good that we all hear this more than once every 5 years. I think we ought to read this every year when we do our state of the church thing. When we... announce the new elders and the new board, Tim talks about the church and where we're at and all that stuff. I think we should do that. That's just me talking, though. But he read this, and the thing that excites me about this is that so many people in this church took this to heart and are running with it on a daily basis. We have decided teaching the gospel without demonstrating the gospel is not enough. Good preaching, good doctrine, and being good people are not enough. We've decided that having a good church club is not enough. Good fellowship is not enough. And just being a member of that club is not enough. We have decided that having good Bible studies is good, but not good enough. Can I have a Kleenex? Okay, everybody close their ears. I'm about to blow my nose. Okay. We have decided that having good programs is not enough, that change without transformation is intolerable, and that staying the same is not an option. We have decided that gifting without character is futile. We have decided that singing songs without worshiping is hollow, and having meetings with God showing up is pointless. Truly, if you have a meeting, God doesn't show up, what's the point? Right? We have decided that having faith without works is not enough. Having works without love is not acceptable. That our function comes out of our relationship first with the Father and second with each other. Boy, I love that. We've decided that reading about the book of Acts without living the book of Acts is unthinkable. That day I went home and read the whole book of Acts. I did. He stood up here on a Sunday that day. I went home and read the whole book of Acts. You see, when you grow up Catholic, they don't do a lot of Bible study. They don't. So I was not brought up in that culture. We have decided that confident faith is good and bold faith is better. We've decided that hearing about the Holy Spirit without experiencing Him is silly. That believing in His presence without seeing it manifested in signs and wonders is hypocrisy. That believing in healing without seeing people healed is absurd. That believing in deliverance without people being delivered is absolutely ridiculous. What good does it do to believe in deliverance if you don't see people delivered? Yeah, and guess whose responsibility is to see people delivered? All of you angels. Yep. Exactly. We have decided to be Holy Spirit filled, Holy Spirit led, and Holy Spirit empowered. Anything less doesn't work for us. We have decided to be the ones, get it? We have decided to be the ones telling the story of God's power and not the ones hearing about them. Amen. Amen. We've decided that living saved but not supernatural is below our privilege. Let that sink in for a second. Living saved but not supernatural is below our privilege. Amen. And short of what Christ died for. Christ died for us to live supernatural. Living saved is one thing. Living supernatural is quite another. And if you're living saved but you're not living supernatural, you're falling short of what God intended. We have decided that we are a battleship, not a cruise ship. An army, not an audience. May I interrupt myself real quick here? Shirley was a battleship last Sunday. She said, there's somebody out there hurting. There's a disease out there that we need to take care of. And I'm putting together my army, and we're going after it. She was a battleship. We want to be an army, not an audience. Special forces, not spectators. Missionaries, not club members. We have decided to value both pioneers and settlers. Pioneers to expand our territory and settlers to build on those territories. But we are not squatters, people who take up space others have fought for without improving it. Let that sink in for a second. There are people in this church that fought awfully hard And we've lost some folks because they didn't want to join the fight, that fought awfully hard to get this church to a place where we are Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-inspired, and empowered. And we go out and we do the things that Jesus called us to do. And there are people that would rather have been just in the club. And that's okay. That's them. You know, that whole thing, that very popular thing, they say, you do you. Yeah, well, I do me looks a whole heck of a lot different than some people doing them. So I accept that. I do. We have decided to be infectious instead of innocuous, contagious instead of quarantined, deadly instead of benign. I love that last one. I remember when Jake was teeny tiny, he said, Daddy, are you afraid of the devil? And I said, no, but the devil sure is afraid of your daddy.
That's right. That's right. That's a good word.
Yep. We have decided to be radical lovers and outrageous givers. That radical love has been experienced by so many people because of the people that I'm looking at. They've experienced radical love coming out of this place. And God bless you all for radically loving people the way you do. Why I love this church. We have decided we are a mission station and not a museum. Amen. Amen. We honor the past. We don't live in it. We live in the presence with our eyes on the future. We see past events, successes, and failures as stepping stones and not stop signs. No such thing as failure. You have success, you have learning experiences. That's life. That's the way it is. You never fail. You just learn. We see past events, I'm sorry, we pursue learning in order to be transformed, not learning in order to know. Wow. Yeah. We learn in order to be transformed, not just so we have knowledge and a big fat head, so we have. Oh, I have a fat head. You guys have pretty heads, but we focus on what could be and not what is or has been. Yes. You get it? We focus on what could be, not on what has been or what is. We focus on what could be. That's it. Tim said one of the greatest lines in the history of mankind. It's not about getting you to heaven after you die. It's about getting heaven into you while you're here. Jesus, you should have copyrighted that. We are not limited to the four walls of this building. Our influence is not restricted by location. Not even the nations are out of bounds. Tom. Yep. You getting what I'm going after here? Every time I read something, it applies to somebody in this church, doesn't it? It applies to all of us. That's why I love my church. We are more concerned about how many we send out into the world than how many we convince to come into the building. Now, we've sent some folks out of here that did not leave because they just didn't like our church. They went on to other towns and other places, and they got into churches there, or maybe even started their own church, or became missionaries. They went out. They left here, and they went out, and they did God's work in another place. And we love that, and we promote that, and we encourage that. Do we miss them? Absolutely. But are we happy for them and what they're doing? Absolutely. It's amazing. This building is meant to be filled. It will be. But if it will not be the measure of who we are or the measure of our effectiveness. Amen. It doesn't matter if there's 400 people in here or 40. We, ladies and gentlemen, are angels on this planet. We are the encouragers, the gatherers, the protectors, the worshipers, the praisers. We are all of that. That's why I love my church. We raise up world changers, not tour guides. Amen. Kurt's back there going, yeah, brother, preach it. We raise up world changers and not tour guides. Amen. We train commandos, not committees. We are a people of our destiny, not of our history. Yep. Are we not? Yep. We are a people of our destiny through Jesus Christ, our Son, the Son, the Lord, our God and Savior. We are children of our destiny, not of our past. Amen. We have decided that it is better to fail while reaching for the impossible that God has planned for us than succeed settling for less. Yeah. I think I'm going to have this bronzed and plateaued all over my house. That be all right with you, honey? Maybe not. Okay. We have decided that nothing short of his kingdom come, his will be done in our world as it is in heaven will satisfy. Nothing short of that. Yeah. Boy, if we could all get that in our heads, this whole world would change. Everything would change. We have decided that we will not be satisfied until our world freaks out and cries out, those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Yeah. We're coming for you. Those of you who need encouraging, those of you who need help, those of you who need hope, those of you who need prayer, those of you who need friendship, those of you who need family, we're coming for you. We're coming for you. There are some of the decisions that define us, who we are as a community and how we live our lives. These decisions are not destinations, but rather journeys. Journeys along an ancient path. We have not found some new way, but rather rediscovered the path as old as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The same path followed by Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Paul, John, and Peter. That's nothing new. They would walk down the road and the shadow would touch somebody and they'd be healed. Yep. And I firmly, firmly, firmly believe that we can do the same. Bold faith is believing what God says is really true and acting on it. Let me repeat that. Bold faith is believing that what God says is really true and acting on it. So, I could probably stand up here for the next 3 days and talk about how you magnificent people have changed the world around you in ways that you probably don't even imagine. This is called decisions that define us. That's what it's called. For those of you who don't know, it's on our website. You can look at this every day if you want. Bring it up, look at it, read it, digest it, let it empower you, let it strengthen you. But when Tim got up here on that Sunday and read that, I stood right back over there where Mike and Wanda are sitting right now. And I think I literally said, wow, out loud. And then I think I said it again. Because that changed everything for me. And I began to have a bold faith. And I began to profess it. And then I began to look around me and watch everybody else start doing the same thing. And I began to hear testimonies up here of magnificent things and the way that God has worked in their lives and the lives of the people around them. And we kept getting better and we kept going after it and we kept going after it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not stop going after it. Don't ever give up going after God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't ever stop reaching. Don't ever stop reaching. Because I can guarantee you, if you're reaching up here, guess who's reaching down for you? Yeah. Yep. If you're coasting, he'll watch you coast. But if you're reaching, he's coming after you. He'll reach down. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being angels. Thank you for your inspiration. That just blew me away. Made me start thinking of a whole bunch of stuff. So thank you for that. And thank you for the Chrome Dome Healing Squad. I'm going to borrow that if that's okay. But thank you all for being angels. Thank you all for doing God's work. Thank you all for showing me, for letting me come into this house and helping me along and helping me mature and helping me progress. And let's help each other. How about that? How about we help each other progress? How about we get to that point that I have been praying to God for so long that, and we've had it said already, there's something special about those people at Bethel. I've had people say that to me. There's something special about the people at that church. I said, yeah, so come be a part of us, you know. But I'm waiting for a time when people come here just to see, man, I've heard wild things going on in that church. I got to go out and see. I got to go out and see. And whether they stay or not is immaterial. The fact that they come through those doors and get touched, that's what's important. So let's touch some more people. Be bold. Reach out. Step out in faith. Wait for God to show up. Be somebody's rock. Be somebody's messenger. Be somebody's protector. Be somebody's encourager. Be somebody's healer. Be somebody's angel.